This program is too long, you know, it's got all the and today that is the mundane life, really, very much, you know. I just got delayed, and my apologies to everyone.
The terrific one, the one that's delayed today.
I'm sure it has been explained to you that we had a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. But be that as it may, may I really thank you for coming and for your patience. Every time, this time of the year, in fact, in terms of the Constitution, is that FFC must be consulted for any money bill. So it is on that basis that we thought that we should invite you to comment on this appropriation here. You know, with the implementation of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, would really like I don't know if FFC is represented as a task team, but I don't think that FFC is represented. And on that task team, they are coming with training for members around these issues. And it's clear that there are still challenges in terms of understanding what is appropriation, or what is the fiscal framework, what are all these things. And we hope that you will get your support to that. But that, without wasting more time, can I just invite you, Dr. Stai, chairperson of FFC, to introduce your known team. if you could introduce it for the sake of everyone. And then you take us through your presentation.
Thank you very much.
We understand that there's some technological problems. We do have the hard copy. I think we can continue without it. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chair. My extreme left is Henry Eckstein, the liaison officer who manages our liaison office here in Cape Town. And then next to him is Vincent McIntyre, an analyst in the FFC. And then Bongani Kumalo, who is also known here, and myself, Beth Wilson. We are appearing here to comment on the Appropriation Bill 2010 to this committee. We have been part of this process in a way before, and I will not necessarily indicate in detail, but basically the Commission's position on the Appropriation Bill is similar to the position adopted before in terms of our appearances here. But we do understand that we are appearing here to just see the consistency of the budgeting process to the priorities put forward by government. That is sort of our orientation in terms of our presentation. And so there's just a little bit more detail in that sense. And I have asked Vincent to take the lead in making the presentation, and then thereafter we'll answer questions accordingly. Vincent.
Okay. thank them. What I'll do is to start with the slide number 3, which has got the number 2, and it says analytical approach. To say what, to give an impression as to what approach did the commission take in analyzing the appropriation bill. What you see here is that the commission's submission on the bill focuses on the allocation to different priorities that have been identified in the 2010 budget. And what we've done here is to look into the main table that is contained in what is now called the annex WE1, which lists the whole list of priorities. You'll see that there was 112 billion added to the current MTF. So what the commission did was to look into that table and identify the priorities in Annex IE of the Division of Revenue Bill, also contained in the budget review. The data that we also used was to look into the past current and expenditure amounts that fell down to the estimate of national expenditure, the thick booklet that Treasury publishes, and the provincial budget and expenditure review of last year, in there to check whether already the priorities identified find themselves within the budgets of provinces. The next slide necessarily just is to say that the numbers that you'll be seeing here that we'll be talking to are real numbers. That is numbers that are deflated, stripping out inflation to see the real growth in the trend. Going on to the slide that says 3 government priorities. What has been identified in the current budget booklets are 5 priorities. One is job creation and infrastructure, education and skills development, healthcare, rural development, justice, crime prevention and policy. Now, in no particular order, if you like, these you could cluster them as priority number 1 for government. And our approach is that when you look into our analysis, is to look at them in that kind of a context. But if one wants to look into priority by priority, first of all, the job creation one, in the table that I referred to, you will see that when we analyze the budgets themselves, that is the Division of Revenue Bill and the Provincial Budget and Expenditure Review, is to try and find linkages to are there programs already in the system that are funding these priorities. And it is in that regard that one would look into that. But if you look into the job creation one, you would see that already that there are conditional grants and public utility subsidies that are designed at the local government level, which is, for instance, the municipal water, electricity, roads, and so forth, that necessarily try and deal with the infrastructure and job creation. Another new one here that we see is the inclusion of the clothing and textile automotive industry, and this will be mainly at the national level. Moving on to the next slide, one that talks to education and skills development, you'd see that there are almost 5 line items that are funded, all of them to almost the tune of 2.6 billion. Because education is funded mainly by national, but with a concurrent function, implementation takes place at the provincial level. There are line items like the workbook, the native schools, high education subsidies, further education training colleges. When you look into the budget itself, you'll see that there are conditional grants, for instance, on the various programs like the Naledi, which are funded through the conditional grants to provinces. So in a nutshell, we're saying that already there are programs ready to absorb the funding that the executive is seeking government to implement. When coming to health, key priority in the main, there's 3 of them contributing to a tune of more than 10 billion, I think it's almost 11.4 billion or so. In the main, HIV/AIDS frontline attack is receiving quite a substantial increase there. The hospital revitalization in terms of making sure that the infrastructure in hospitals is up to scratch. The new one which has been spoken to is the rural development. In this case, the funding towards the land bank recapitalization and the distinct amount of 860 million over the MTF for rural development itself. And you would see in FSC's past recommendation, the issue here was that we would want to check this to a point that we want to make sure that it's delivered, because there was an issue about a committee that will, a cluster within the executive that will make sure it deals with the rural development and job creation, as it were. Rural development, again, I've spoken to that. The next one, on 3.5, is justice, crime prevention and policing. This is one of the key priorities that actually is receiving quite a substantial amount of money. And in this case, you'd see that there is additional amount of money to policing, military skills development, the remuneration, the law enforcement, and a whole lot of personnel and incentives to personnel of policing and so forth, just to make sure that we deal with the issue of crime. Now, if we look into the other one included into the budget priorities, that is not reflected per se, is the issue of housing. If you look at it, it's already, the state is already funding housing as a priority, even though it was not explicitly identified. Now, to actually give context to all of this, what the FSC took was to have two tables. You see the slide that shows the tables now there, to analyze these priorities as the one integrated into the budget, but also isolate them out and say, how are they growing into the future? And what our conclusion tell us. Yes, okay. No, Prof is just indicating whether we're on the same page. I'm talking to the tables that are listed here. The first table necessarily says the following thing. If you just look into 1 year, it says that of the total budget as in the system, the first thing that necessarily happens is that you have debt servicing costs. Right down at the bottom, you see there's a 10% there on 2008 and 2009 and 10. That 10%, if you take it all out, the remainder of the funding will go to a certain number of programs. When you look into those programs, the biggest share in that case is education.
Sorry, I think that is very important for us to understand where the 10% amount. I don't see.
Okay. Right at the on the bottom of the first table there, the second line from the bottom gives you, it says debt servicing cost. Yes. So how government budgets, if the first thing it does is to take care of that debt. So when you spread that out, what remains is for government to start to spend on different programs. So that's okay. Now what remains is then, therefore, if you look at, let's look at just the bottom part. What you have then is the top budget priority, which is the second from the top on the same block, which says 70%. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is that in the main, there are certain key things that are considered a priority and they contribute 70% of the budget currently as it sits. Now this year, the executive identified five key priorities, and those five key priorities makes up 49% of the 70% that you see identified by the state as a priority. Can I proceed from there?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, what we now say now, if we understand each other from there, that the other part would be any other thing that government would say is that are a non-priority, if you like. But the 70% discrepancy between the 70 and the 49 is that already there were previous priorities that are already in the system, and those are still executive priorities, but they are already taken care of in the baselines of provinces, national and local government. Now, to take you back to the first one, job creation, infrastructure and environment, what we're saying here is that various programs within the system deal already with this item of job creation and infrastructure and environment. When you strip those out, when you strip through different programs, you would find that they contribute for 2008 and 9 to 11, an amount of 5.79. And this shows you the trend over the period, that this is what it says, that this is stable around 5.7, 5.9 or so. The education skills development, in fact, is the biggest cost to the state, at the tune of 21%. It's almost stable around 21% until it declines to 20%. I can maybe just jump to the one rural development. What you see is just 1%, 1.3 going to 1% over the MTS period. What this necessarily says is that because currently in the system there's not been an explicit target to rural development, then therefore this will start off a small base, but government has taken it on board. And what you necessarily see happening is that in an earlier case, you would allow the system to mature before you pump in a lot of money. So when you look into the table, it will show you that the money is growing nicely there, even though it's a small percentage, but it's growing nicely until the system matures to absorb the money. And that's, in a nutshell, the purpose of having that table. And to try and say that, in the main, the priorities that are identified are enshrined in the budget of the state. Now, going to the next slide, this one necessarily says to us, okay, then going forward, how are these budgets growing themselves? When you take out, when you look into the priorities identified themselves only, how are they growing within different sub-programs? If you look at them and you strip out inflation, are they growing in real terms, or we could do more? And when you look into the first year, that you see that the biggest thing that, again, taking you back to the bottom of the table, that says that servicing cost, where it's got 17, 17, 11, and 15. Again here, because the biggest thing to do when you make an allocation is to service your debt, you see that debt servicing cost is the biggest problem in the system. It has grown quite substantially, but it's projected to decline into the MTF. So at 17% for 2009 to 11, declining to 15%. But what we are looking at now is to say the top priorities as identified, for instance, are at 5% for last year. That is already those that are funded. And then this year they declined to 3%, then 2%, then up 3%. And this is to check whether because they're already in the system, they will be only grown by inflation. Unless next year they are reiterated and executive makes special provision and emphasis on them, you would see them being absorbed into the system. The actual amount will grow because these are real inflation amounts, but it's growing 3% over inflation, 2% over inflation, and 3% over inflation in the outer years. And what I was talking to earlier on the rural development part is that the initial injection, if you go in, there's a minus 4. It's the only minus on the table, the line. It says minus 4.42. It tells you the amount is not enough to deliver on the program, but it's enough, for instance, the amount that goes there is for land bank recapitalization, for instance. That's an amount of money that will assist the land bank to assist the farmers and rural development and so forth. But in the long run, if there are key programs identified, it will be important for government to start to focus on pumping in money in there, such that the growth that you see there is well above inflation. And there is, because that lump from minus 4 now to 9% shows you that there is a once-off allocation. And that once-off allocation may not be repeated again. And what would want to happen is that as soon as those are identified, yeah, you could put in there. Now, that's in a nutshell the presentation, if you like, because if I was to go into detail, this is just a narrative of the table that I've just presented. And if I could take members to the last slide that says conclusion. And this is the proposal from the Commission, and it is to say that the appropriation for 2010-11 from where the Commission sits necessarily addresses the top priorities, and where the Commission sits, we would want to support the appropriation bill as tabled. And that's the end of the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I didn't know that you are a political party, you can support or reject. I don't know, Dr. Stai, if there's any addition.
No, we can say, Chair, just conclude that in supporting the priorities, it doesn't necessarily impact adversely on other government functions. Yeah, it's still going ahead. So we really think it's a very rational budget.
Thank you very much.
Honorable members, Honorable Sock.
I want you to be with us.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just want to say thank you to the presenters. They're just the messengers, basically, because they're just coming to tell us what's in the budget and what the priorities are. So, you know, there's no criticism of what they're saying, and I agree with them. The only thing that worries me greatly is the actual decline for rural development, and I think that is something which we, as government, should be looking at in the future.
are not messengers. They have analyzed the present, and this is the result of their analysis. Honorable Dr. Ravi.
And Honorable Masaka.
Thank you, Chairman Hanga. Thank you. It's a very thought-provoking submission. Chairman, I'd like to know, they say that our debt servicing costs at the moment, I'm referring to the second table on growth trends. They say that the present one, the estimate is 17% of the total budget. Is that correct, 17%?
Yes.
Or was it of the amount of money allocated to the... can you just elaborate on the debt servicing cost there? I'd like to have further clarity. And is there a norm regarding what your debt servicing cost should be for an emerging economy such as South Africa? Is it 20%? Is it 15% or something like that? I'd just like to know what is the ascribed norm for your debt servicing cost. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Mr. Gana.
Maybe a follow-up question on the 17%. I just wanted to understand as well whether it was the accrued debt or is it linked to the GDP? Well, what is the 70% of the budget? Is 70% of the debt? Is 70% of the GDP? The total cost. And then the second question, I just wanted if you could explain this minus 4%. I know you did in shorthand, in terms of the growth trend, you say minus 4.4% on 2. How should I read it? How should I read that minus percent? Should I read it? And what informed the 4% in terms of, I just want to understand it, what informs the 4% minus? Should I read it as less injection that could have been 4% or just less injection in terms of the budget as a term? I just want to understand this minus 4% in terms of the budget language.
Thank you, Chairperson. Not being an economist, can you explain or give clarity why the debt servicing is yo-yoing or fluctuating? What's the reason for it to fluctuate instead of being at least going down or remaining static? Why is it fluctuating?
Okay, and just from my side, you know, doesn't know the difference between these two slides, government priorities 2010, growth trends. In terms of government priorities, the debt servicing cost starts with for 2009-10. For 2010-11, starts with 10% and on the cross trend with 17%. What is this difference? Thank you.
Well, I think let me start with the 17%. I think what you would normally see in the government budget is the first table is the one that would make sense. Where you guys said is the where members said is the 10% that you normally see that how much it costs the state. Total 10% of the budget would go to servicing the debt. The 17% is a year-on-year growth. When you look into the debt servicing itself, let's say it's 10 bucks. If it's 10 bucks, next year you add 17% of 10 bucks, it becomes something like 117. So it's just locking it into it and say how much is it growing by itself. So if you look at it in isolation. So I hope that answers the question. Okay? The decline in the rural development element talks to probably a few things. That, like I said, it's a new target for the executive. But what you have in the system already is for instance, the cut that's under the agriculture. Normally, that budget is quite a substantial amount of money. And this year, you have a new program that specifically targets the rural development. But within caste itself, there was an element which is fairly large, but next, the following year the money was going elsewhere. But this year you say, okay, fine, I'll edit this amount of money. But because you are targeting that particular program under caste itself, which was normally inflated throughout in a general term, not identified, because the province would go and say, under this program caste, I will make my own effort and pay money to rural development. Now in this case, they never had it, they must have it, they must start, but then they will probably switch it off. If they switch it off, what does it do? There was this amount of money going to the provinces on it, not targeted at all, but a big amount of money, but then it will go down, but this is in real terms. Then the following day, the following year, they start to build the program and they show in their budget that now it's going to grow up. So it's sort of reshifting the sub-programs and reflecting on them. That shows this kind of a shift. But in terms of the nominal amount, the amounts are going in there, but when you look into the amount of inflation that's in the system currently, it will show you that in real terms, value for money kind of, there is no real growth for that particular year because of that knock. And that's the point that's been driven there. I spoke to the issue of the debt service cost. I'll leave the one to the issue of is there a norm in terms of debt service cost to deputy chair? The fluctuation of debt servicing costs, again, here, if members are referring to the two tables, in the first table, it's moving from 10 to go to 11, then 12. These are just projections. These are estimates based on a national projection that is drawn on to say by this particular year, we'll be able to raise this amount of revenue. But what's most important is this current year. How much can we collect? So if we can project to collect more, we would then better able to service the debt cost, but its percentage contribution would be lower because we'll be dealing with a bigger amount. And then what the fiscal policy stands is that we want to have a smooth up approach. If we're going to project a lower debt servicing cost, it means we now shift money away from the debt and more to service delivery. Then therefore, the debt servicing cost will be lower for that year, but more money to service delivery. But if you make it higher, it means service delivery is going to suffer. And that's a fiscal stance that is taken by government in that regard. And that for us, is a reason for why you have that kind of a jump. And the last question was, what is the main difference between the two tables here? Again, to check, is that the first table, like I said in the beginning, is more the proportion contribution, for instance, for education in the system. When you take out debt servicing cost, what remains is 90% of the funding available for government to spend. When you look into, for instance, 8 and 9 financial year, education was making up 21.89% of that remaining in terms of expenditure. And why we put it here is because this year is an identified priority. Then therefore, we're trying to find expression to say this 21% already is a key priority in government, that's why you have it there. That's the first table. Now on the next part, we only look into what has been funded into the system, annex WE1, which says there are amounts of money to work books in a lady higher education. So when you add those together, strip them out, you look into how much are they growing year on year. So the next table just focus on the program and say, year on year, how is it growing?
I'm sorry, Mathematics. Let me rephrase my question.
You, for instance, on the first slide, you're saying this on this debt services. I mean, the question is really revolves around debt services. And saying in the first slide, you're talking about 10%, and you have informed us as to why is it 10, what happens when 10% of it is taken off. Mm-hmm. Now on the growth trend, do you mean that now, because of the debt that we under collected, now as we move forward, do you mean that this year, the money amount that would be sliced off to service that debt will be 17%, and last year it was 10%. Now the question really that I'm asking, that what is the difference between these two slides? in terms of the debt service, what to call it, the cost, yeah, on both sides, is this cost? That is the question.
I don't know if it makes sense.
I think the simple answer to that is that the first table, the first table basically represents proportion. In other words, it just represents shares of the different items in the budget. Now the second table.
Sorry, when you say shares of the different
items, in other words, you're not talking about the. I mean the whole what you call a budget. It's just different items that are identified as priorities.
You take the whole budget.
Yeah.
And then you say to yourself, what share does this debt service constitute of this budget?
Sure.
That's what it does.
In other words, if it's 120, then debt takes 10% of that, and so on.
Yeah. Now, then the other table basically just shows the growth trend.
Of the debt or of
education or whatever. It's just the growth trend. Well, the other one is just fixed shares in any particular year.
Maybe add that, you know, to answer Ms. Kobo's question, we should say also government debt, it's no different from a person having a debt. It's just that the government has certain privileges. So the government, for example, might take a loan and then say, I'll pay after 30 years, I'll pay after 10 years, I'll pay whatever, you know. So whenever those conditions kick in, the cost, the impact on the cost, you know, the cost will also fluctuate. It's just to answer that. But I think the specifics, the Treasury would have been in a position to answer the specifics. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the other question that was whether or not we have, is there a norm on, in terms of the growth and whatever. Generally, there are no norms around the growth, the growth rates of your debt service. What you tend to have is norms around your ratio. You tend to have norms around your ratio, which is your debt to GDP. Ratio. That's what you tend to have. They range. It depends on the choices that countries make. So those countries that tend to be more welfare-ist kinds of states, they will tolerate. They have higher levels of debt tolerance. So they probably the range basically is between 40% and 60%. It's about how much you can tolerate. With respect to the growth, I think as Dr. Sitai has already indicated, it's really about the structure of the debt. So in terms of the growth in your debt service cost, it's about the structure of your debt. So there's the structure in terms of the primary structure, and then there's the term structure, which is the number of years which different types of debts that you hold. Or debt instruments that you hold must be redeemed. That will have an impact on the growth rate, and that basically is or explains why you don't have a straight line in terms of the trend in the growth or in the decline. It's not going to be a straight line. Now the current position that we find ourselves in basically is also as a result of the crisis that we coming from. I mean, government did issue new debt basically to try and cushion the economy from some of the losses that the fiscus was making. So that tends to contribute to the share that we actually see rising in terms of the service costs.
And Chair, I think maybe some of the appropriate questions to ask here, which are not reflected here, maybe Treasury should answer that, it's how this debt impacts on the budget, on the national budget, especially on the deficit. Is it putting stress on the deficit? Is it not? Because if it puts stress on the deficit, we can expect a lot of inflation ahead. But if it doesn't, then, you know, it's okay. Secondly, related to that is the balance of payments deficit. how is this debt composed in a manner that it might have adverse effect on the balance of payment itself. So that these are the two things I think when we talk about macroeconomic stability, we are talking about impact on the balance of payments and also impact on the budget deficit itself. That is where the, you know, the Achilles heels could easily be.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Maki.
Yeah, one of the last questions which was very specific was that -4.4. And because it will probably help as well. To say, when you read that -4.4, it says that, let's say last year you had a 10% increase in your salary. What happened this year is that this year you got -4% of that 10%. So what you got this year is 6% for this increase instead of 10% in real terms. So you did not get a better increase than you got last year. That's all it says. But it doesn't mean that there's a negative growth. It is a growth, but it's of a low amount than you had.
Is that clear? You want to add?
Just to say I agree.
It's fine, honored members. You see, the disadvantage that we're having is that national salary is not here to explain further some of the issues, especially in responding to what the FSC is saying. Oh, sorry. I've noted. I see the gentleman from National Treasury went out, but I said he must be called back because you must understand why they are not here. They are aware of this meeting, they're supposed to be here, so that when we finally make a decision, it must be an informed, what we call it, decision that we make based on this. Honorable Mok.
But here, does ANDA represent those areas that are not mentioned in this thing?
Can you repeat the question?
No, we'll take that.
Yeah. All right.
Just waiting for you to give it.
Go on. No. Green light is given.
Yes, I think this ARA represents those ARAs. You see what happens in the budget, for instance, when you look into, when you say to look for sports, arts and culture, even though it's not a priority, when you craft a budget, the directive will be all departments should grow their budget by 6%. So already in the budget, that's a priority taken care of a long time ago. And when you look into it, how do you group it? You just call it other, but then its percentage contribution would be that part. And that's the explanation for the other. It's already money in the system. It's still taken care of when you grow the budget by 6%. It's just how they reprioritize it. But the difference is that you are not explicit about it, but it's there. You should still fund it.
Thanks, Chair. With the proportional split, have you going to analyze all the budgets of the various departments and try to then classify what you could say would be job creation, etc., and then for healthcare? Would we be able to see this sometimes? Because I think that will help us with that interaction with the different departments. Because if we're looking, because to me it's linking it to the whole kind of cluster oversight approach, which would help us a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe what we didn't say at the beginning is that we got your invitation to come and present this on Thursday. And so we tried to put something quickly together. We did not give you a write-up. We've just done a presentation because the written part must still be, we must still get a formal approval with the rest of the commission. We just contacted them on the phone and told them this is what we're going to present, and they said go ahead. We must still get a full approval. So once that has been done, then you will get the full submission with far much more detail than what we have in the PowerPoint. Yeah, no, we meet on Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
So it should be next week, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I like the way you're operating. I think there are many ex-trade unionists here, you know. Some is on strike. Salga put a proposal, and they couldn't agree because the rest of the workforce must support the work. Now, but let's hope that if we get that, that submission, at least it will put more meat. We'll really appreciate it. Ghost, why are you running away when we want you to answer? Now I want you to sit at the table here. No, don't sit there. You have a friend here, Honorable Sars, can sit next to him. The question to you is that we're starting with the process of the appropriation, and I understand that the department of actuary was informed about this meeting, but we have not received an apology. In fact, we're not expecting to receive an apology because it's not going to help us. Apology will not assist us. What will only assist us is for people to respond to this submission. I'm not sure if you are aware why they are not here. No, it's fine. I think that what this directs to, I don't know what is meant by monitoring, by national treasury, because to us it means that where we think that, from time to time, we would need a confirmation from national treasury of some of the presentations that are going to be there. And there's a whole list of them. I hope that you have in the program. And we're really expressing our unhappiness the way things are done. Those people who are in the relevant departments, like your budget, would have expected them, maybe not all of them, to come here, but to someone, to have sent someone who would be able to respond to some of the questions in terms of what is being raised. Now it's monitoring. Monitoring does not really help us. If you do not have the program, I'm sure after the meeting you can't get the program. We do need them to be here. And I think that now the way National Treasurer is treating us, I think that we don't like it. We have raised it when we raise matters of quarterly reports. We really want to understand why all of a sudden there is this change of events at National Treasury. When people just decide not to come, they don't inform us that they will not come, but will only be monitor the processes. I hope you will really express our disgust at this. And the program will be made available to you if it has not been emailed to you and to other people at Nassau Traders. Okay, thanks. I don't know if there are any, what you call it, already 25 to 1. If there are any questions to, it looks like there are no questions. But I think that we would look forward to that a fuller submission. We will be having some other people. When is that? Now we'll make the program available to you. But I think that now, if you feel like sending someone in one of these meetings that we appropriation meetings that we'll be having, which specifically where there will be presentations, I see on the 21st. In fact, tomorrow is not an appropriation as such, but it's a third quarterly report. The reason why we have invited Public Works tomorrow, we deal with Public Works. Public Works is responsible for that incentive scheme of theirs. Now, the uptake is very low. And from the beginning, if you remember, we have really not agreed with them or been unhappy about the way this incentive is structured. Now, the reports that we have been getting from them would give the impression that everything is in order. You know, but what we have, National Treasury Report clarifies that for local government, 17.5% uptake, for provincial government, it's 68%. Clearly, that is all low. It has implications. Now, we have invited, I hear that you also invited.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I see you're receiving the invitation now. Okay, that's an internal matter. Wow, okay. Well, we'll appreciate. No, that is the third one, it's fine. We will appreciate it then if you could avail yourself for tomorrow. Because I think that this is an important meeting, and I think that some of these matters are being discussed at a budget council level. But the reality is that the implementation is a problem. Honorable members, I think we have come to the end of our meeting, and thank you very much.